This is an international podcast transmission. Is anyone out there? If you're listening, you've reached the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. I'm your co-host, Jeff Stoner, and today we are joined by the Kuz. Steven Kuzmanak joins us again today. This one was interesting in the fact that Steven was our very first guest when we launched this podcast last year. And it is still today our most downloaded episode. It was all about addiction, his recovery with alcohol abuse. And I tell you what, to bring him back in here and have a completely different conversation was a lot of fun. First of all, mind blown when it comes to this conversation, because I had no idea how the ports worked. And I think it's kind of one of those things, like we mentioned this in the episode, that every single person in the world orders something online, or at least 90% of the people in the world order stuff online at any given point in time, and how that product gets from point A to point B at your house is unbelievable. Steven is a mechanic at the Port of LA and kind of just literally just goes through what the process is. We talk about the automation of some of the terminals at this point. We talk about some of the bad shit that's happened and some of the stuff that happens when you're not paying attention. And so it was just really fun and interesting to hear these conversations and to hear the stories behind it and how this process works. And for me, I love learning how these processes work. It was really fun for it. Again, mind blowing for me. This was more of a conversation that Omar and Steven were able to just riff back and forth, because both of, you know, Omar was in logistics and in shipping for a while, and Steven being at the ports now, it was really cool to hear the two of them talk about it and give so much information. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation as much as I did when it comes to learning about this stuff. And we have some laughs along the way, but yeah, guys, it was fun to have Steven back in the show. So thank you, Steven, for coming back and having a completely different conversation with us this time around. So hope you guys enjoy. Welcome back to the No Fixed Agenda podcast, Steven Kuzmanak.
This is No Fixed Agenda, brought to you by Bubs Natural. Their mission statement is simple: live better, live longer. Bubs helps fuel people to reach their maximum human potential through supplements sourced from nature's highest quality ingredients, while giving 10% of all proceeds back to charity. Learn more about their NSF Sports Certified Collagen Peptides and Electrolyte Drink Mix at BubsNaturals.com.
First of all, let me say that even though we aired your episode, your last interview,
it was the first one.
The very first one.
Yeah.
And I will say that conversation is still our largest impactful conversation. It is the most downloaded conversation we have right now. Still.
I love that.
Seriously?
Yeah. I shit you not.
I love that.
That's why I brought you back in. I was like, well, dude, this guy obviously did something for us, so let's bring him back in.
I always talk about that episode, that one and the narcissist one that we just did, dude.
Yeah.
I've been talking a lot about those two episodes, even with my clients. I think it's like, I think people understand addiction more than anything in the world, but they don't realize that they can be addicted to all kinds of shit. And I said, you need to listen to this episode. Plus, I've gotten better over the last few.
Yeah, Omar still continues to tell people, don't listen to the first five episodes. Listen,
it's 10, bro.
Don't listen to the first 10 episodes. Everything else after that is fine.
Yeah.
I felt like this kind of, that first conversation needed a redo because you were so
because
terrible.
Because you were
terrible.
Wow.
Steven was great. At that point in time, I almost asked Steven to be part of the show and not you.
Wow, bro.
Stop.
Then, stop.
I mean, I hate my voice. I'm not designed for parts.
I don't know. I would disagree with that.
Wow.
I think it's fine.
So catch us up though, dude. What's new with you, man, since the last time? God. I mean, how long has it been since we had him on the episode?
Let's see. Last, when we launched the podcast, it was March.
It was almost so we
interviewed.
Hasn't it been two years?
No. I feel sometimes working with this one that it's been two years.
I'm trying to think because Rafe's, my son's a year and a half.
Yeah. So we interviewed you.
So it must've been when my wife was pregnant.
So we interviewed you, last February.
Yeah, we launched
the podcast in March. So we had, it was either January or February, because we had like 10 episodes banked.
So Rafe was, he was born already.
So Rafe was only like a month and a half he's a December kid, right? December
13th.
Yeah, so I think it was literally, he was probably 2 months old.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was earlier. That's crazy. But yeah, no, it's... I mean, obviously, that's my biggest thing right now is taking care of my son and stuff. And that's crazy. That's life changing.
Yeah. Have you seen pictures of him at all?
No.
He's gotten big, man. It's like,
yeah,
he's huge.
I think he's taller than you already.
That's not saying much, dude.
Yeah. He's got to be like 5'5", 5'6" already.
I'm fucking shrinking, dude. So
he was walking at 10 months.
And, wow.
Yeah, I mean, just like they're not a baby anymore. They start walking.
Yeah, that's your first one though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and so when you say it's life changing, I like having these kind of conversations, dude, because when my first daughter was born, I clearly remember the every single moment of that and how my life changed from living for myself to living for someone else.
Yeah. It's like, totally. I'll be eating dinner, right? And I won't even eat dinner because I got to feed him and I forget to eat myself. Like, it's all about him.
Yeah.
And it's life. It's life changing. But no, he's like, it's everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is. It's the craziest feeling.
Yeah. Well, wait till you have grandkids, man. Then that changes.
How is how's Abby doing with
she
everything?
Loves, like, it, they're awesome.
They have a great relationship.
It's all good. It was a little rough in the beginning.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't say rough, but like she, when they're that little, they're like all the attention.
Right.
So like all your efforts are going towards the baby.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
right.
But it probably took a few months and then she.
You're still nighttime shift over.
Night shift. I think I started at a new terminal. I think the first one we did, it doesn't matter.
A new terminal.
I started a new terminal where it's automated. So all the cranes are literally, they drive by themselves. And so it's like a little bit more step up in the technology and understanding all those systems that the crane doesn't even have an operator.
How's the explain the technology aspect of the terminals. And when we talk about terminals, for anybody who didn't listen to the first episode, you work at the Port of Long Beach.
Yeah. Port of LA.
Port of LA, I guess.
Same thing.
Same deal.
That's in Long Beach.
They're right next to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So explain what's going on with.
So unloading container ships. We unload cargo.
Yeah.
And so I fix the cranes and maintain the cranes that unload all the containers off the ships. So this dock, an operator will take it off the ship, put it on the ground, and then an automated vehicle will come grab it. And then put it in a block, and then automated stacking cranes will come grab the can, put it in the block, and then put it on a trucker, all automated. So like from the ship to the dock is an operator. From there to the truck is automation.
Wow.
So it's a computer program, basically, bringing the container to the trucker.
What did the union have to say about all that?
They don't love that, right?
Obviously.
Because you're eliminating
jobs.
Quite a bit of jobs.
Absolutely.
Like a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
And there's like three automated docks up there. So the more automation, the less regular longshore work there is.
Yep.
But there's still some need for some operators. Like if something goes wrong, it'll go to like an operator's desk and they'll kind of fix the problem. But that doesn't happen too often. And you need way less operators. So you got 8 in a room versus 30 driving them. So like 30 cranes
Wow.
You only got 8 controlling the 30 cranes.
Wow.
So it eliminates all those jobs. It's
not I think we were just talking about Hector with this shit, right?
We were. We just had our friend Hector Rodriguez in, who works for Amazon, and he works in the all of the ship back.
Yeah, so stuff damage
for him, the damage
stuff for control.
And he was talking about how AI and that stuff is now auto generated stuff too. So it's Amazon's not having to hire all of those people.
Yeah, so they got rid of like 100 jobs off of one floor.
Yeah, their warehouses are automated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. It's real. I mean, it's happening.
Dude, so we were talking about it like from an aspect of like there's what the fuck people are going to do. Like the more and more, I mean, they're always going to need mechanics and you're working to repair the stuff, right? They're always, that if AI and automation takes over, it doesn't replace the need for repair and maintenance.
You still got to fix the stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but you're getting rid, I don't want to say, it's not unskilled labor, but just like your regular labor, you're getting rid of that. You still need your mechanics, your engineers and your design guys or whatever, but you eliminate the guy driving the truck or in the forklift and driving the crane and doing all the other stuff.
Which is scary.
They're gone. So what do you do? What happens to them?
What happens to that whole workforce?
Like what happens to that whole thing?
Yeah. Right.
It's like regular worker people.
Damn.
It's like,
yeah. And this is the second time in a couple of weeks that this has come up. And I keep on saying, man, something has to give because at the end of the day, AI is going to make things easier, but it's fucking scary because what is the human race going to do, dude?
Yeah. And then they go, you know, when automation started showing up, they said, okay, well, don't worry. We'll have more mechanics. So basically they were kind of saying, we'll replace that labor with more mechanics.
No.
Hell no.
No.
So they're like, yeah, we'll have, you know, 2 mechanics a crane, right? Or something like that, whatever the ratio is.
And do the mechanics still?
You do as much as you can. They want as much work done with the least amount of people.
So the schedule there, if I remember correctly, there were like 12 or 10 on, 10, 4 tens or something like that.
So 3 shifts.
Right.
3 shifts. You got day shift 7 to 5, night shift 5 to 3, hoot shift 3 to 8.
Okay.
24/7.
Yeah, always. But I think the automation was spiked up after the fucking COVID, dude, when all that shit came up.
Yeah, it started coming in. I guess everything was being built a little bit before that, but that's probably when it like hit its peak.
Right.
Sure.
Because
we were so busy during, I think everyone was sitting at home just ordering stuff online.
So just to kind of explain it to the listener at home, we talk about the automation aspect, but what was from the terminals and stuff coming in, what's the process from ship to storage? What's that look like?
That's nuts, bro.
Yeah.
Mean storage? Like off dock?
You're taking the stuff from the boats.
So it comes off and then it just gets stacked in blocks and then another crane will come grab it and put it out to a trucker. And with automation, they know where every can is on conventional docks too, but with this automation, you know exactly where containers are.
It's, okay. It's
every
not even
container has an ID and it's all documented where it is, dude, in the piles.
So I guess that's the thing though, from somebody who doesn't really understand it, like you get these containers that come in off the boats and they get put into blocks of things. How is everything stacked by, this is coming from China and this is coming from this manufacturer? I guess that's the thing.
No.
It's like how does everything get unloaded from
They'll kind of like shuffle stuff around. So if stuff's leaving, they'll kind of push it to one end and try to keep it together.
Got it.
But basically, like, I guess to answer your question, there's like when a ship comes in, they know where every container is, exactly where it is on that ship.
Right.
It's not just
they even know
stacking Legos.
There's
a calculated weight for stability of the ship too.
Yeah.
So there's certain loads have to be in certain spots on the ship. So ship comes in, they know where everything's at.
Okay.
And then they also know where it's going to go already. Like the program, it's already programmed in, at least for the automated. I don't really know how they accomplish that conventional side, which would be no automation, just all manual labor.
Right.
But it's like everything knows where it's going. And trucks like even come in, they have like a delivery time.
Yeah.
So they'll pull into a booth, they'll get their ticket and they pull into like their lane and they have a time of delivery. So they can actually like calculate and time the truckers coming in right. and out it's, for it, traffic and stuff.
It looks like ants, bro.
Yes.
It looks like ants. And these drivers,
yeah,
they're the newest fucking drivers in yes. the fucking in the world. If you want to get a first, really, you are yeah, just yeah. learning how to drive a semi truck. They will throw you.
Oh yeah, you're going to the
dock. You're
yeah,
going you're, to the you're dock, bro. Those
loads. Why? Yeah. Why yeah. is that?
Because nobody gives a shit. Nobody wants to do it. One, two. Nobody gives a shit about the container. Mm-hmm. Like the containers are just bastardized, dude. And so if they wreck the fucking container, no big deal.
And those poor guys, dude, they'll come in and sometimes they're in there just literally waiting yeah. for like 7 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hours. They're chilling. Really? And to answer your question about like from the manual side, because I used to do this shit for a living, mm-hmm. ocean containers, Steven's right. They know exactly where the container's at on the boat mm-hmm. for loading purposes. They also know if a freaking container gets lost at sea, dude. Yeah. And so that's fucking nuts. Like they will immediately know because they tag it if they get rough waters. And for some godforsaken reason, one of the top containers ended up in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Immediately know.
Yeah.
And you're done. And so everything building, I think it was like 10 weeks or 12 weeks from order to dock. And it's asinine, dude, what happens. I've done the tour at Long Beach. And that shit blew my mind, bro.
Which dock? Do you remember?
It was the new one, the automated one that they were
built. There. Yeah. So I commissioned all those automated vehicles at dock.
The automated vehicles were wild, isn't it, bro? Crazy? It was, and so you could totally, yeah.
Those drive within 3 millimeters.
Yes, that's what I was going to get into, bro.
They what?
It's a 32-ton vehicle.
Okay.
It has tires as tall as me. It's not that tall, but. Big tires, pretty big, right? And it has a 12-ton battery. I mean, it's a giant electric vehicle with motors and hydraulics on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it can drive literally within a 3 millimeter. I mean, that's nothing.
It's wild.
Jesus.
It's wild, bro. It's you look at these automated vehicles happening, dude, and you're like, that's going to crash. That's going to crash. And it comes like,
they won't.
It's like, it's going to crash. And you're like, you're freaking out and it's like, no, it's totally fine. And then the other side of it, like the manual side, the human side, it's all.
Well, it's madness.
Yeah, it's madness.
You go to the automated, and I'm not saying one's better or, you know, actually like I think our dock is pretty slow compared to conventional, like right. the regular way to do it.
Yeah.
It's slower for sure. But those guys, like they just get them off. Get those containers off. Like they are hauling ass everywhere. It's just
the manual side.
Like OSHA's like the.
Oh really? Not even dude, looking. They look away.
When I visit,
they're them, just yeah, like yeah.
Why so fast on the speed to get everything?
They just want to get their job done. Yeah. Like it's like let's go. Yeah. The operators want to do like 300 moves. That's what they want to do.
And
for that to happen, all the drivers need to be hauling ass, and everybody needs to be going quick, dude.
We visited the manual side and then we visited the automated side and it was like night and day, dude. And
yeah,
they actually had a tilt. A container had tilt over and they were still trying to clean it up when we were there. And the poor tour guide was like, this is not common. And I was like, that's bullshit. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, right, dude. Like, fuck yeah. All the fucking time. All the time. Yeah.
I mean, we have one block the other day, a couple months ago, there was high winds. And if there's six containers stacked high and they're empty, there's enough wind, it'll just push them over.
Well, really?
Yes.
Oh,
those things are fucking heavy, though.
No, dude. Four tons. Empty.
They're 4 tons empty, I think.
Yeah.
Four.
Oh, no shit.
Tons. Yeah, they're not that heavy.
Oh.
And so if you stack them six high and you get some of the right wind.
I think it would have been a lot heavier.
They're getting blown over.
Yeah, and the only thing that got locked in them in place is these two little pins, dude, or four pins on each corner. And the pins are, they're this tall. And they sit on each other. There's a hole in the top on the bottom one.
Yeah.
And the pin's like that tall. And it just sits there.
It's called a twist lock.
Yeah.
Okay. So on each corner, a twist lock goes into the container to pick it up. The surface area that's actually lifting the container out on each corner is probably 2 square inches. It's fucking wild, bro. 8 square inches of contact surface area to lift those containers.
To lift 3 tons.
Or
empty. Or
30
tons. Yeah.
That is asinine.
Yeah, it's wild, dude. I highly recommend to go do the tour. You will be blown away
crazy. They just have tours that you can just go on.
There's ways probably to.
I was in logistics, so I did it through.
That would actually be a really kind of cool. That would be kind of a cool like tour to see how that whole entire.
The terminals operate. So you get numb to it, right? I mean, I've been down there for 11 years now, and then I was in shipping before, so like I've been around the ships and stuff, so I knew. But when it take a drive through, like go from Long Beach to San Pedro over those two bridges, and just people are like, "Where am I?" I mean, it's crazy.
It looks like a different country, bro.
It does.
Yeah, like, the bridges scared the shit out of me, dude.
Yeah,
like, get over those bridges over to like going from Long Beach into San Pedro, dude. That shit, I was.
We just took another. We bought a crane from another dock, so they had to bring it under the Vincent Thomas Bridge, and there was about. It was like a 5 foot
clearance. Oh shit! I've been driving forklift and dual forklifts and all kinds of turrets and like big vehicles in a warehouse space, and I was just dumbfounded about. To your point, OSHA is definitely turning the blind. It's the blind eye.
So you talk about the clearance and stuff just a second ago. Like, what happens with? And maybe you don't know this answer, but what happens when? Ship crashes into a bridge or some containers fall into the ocean. Who's that on? Like, is that on? And it's obviously on the boat, don't get me wrong, but what happens with all of the terminal and stuff? You guys got to account for that stuff being missing, right? Or how does that work?
It's Ecoterms.
If container falls at sea, that's like probably from weather, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's insurance. It's just all insurance. But when there's damage on ships, it's all big insurance jobs.
Yeah. So when they come internationally, they're determined. Like if I'm buying $1 million worth of freaking product that's coming from China, when I negotiate, this is what I used to do. Mm-hmm. When I negotiate terms, eco terms with the manufacturer in China, it's either freight on board. There's like a million acronyms, dude. And then so you negotiate with that vendor, and if it's freight on dock, they cover it up to freight on dock. So in other words, while that container's out in the ocean, depending on the value and what you negotiated with the manufacturer, they'll say, okay, we'll replenish if the container doesn't hit freight on dock. But once it's freight on dock, let's say it's in Long Beach.
Okay.
It's on the dock and a manual driver just destroyed the container because whatever, right? Shit happens. Then it's our responsibility. We eat that. But if it's at sea, there's also another freight on dock from the China side. So it goes into the port in Hong Kong. As long as it leaves that port, the manufacturer goes,
yeah, I'm done.
I'm fucking done.
My job's done.
Yeah.
And then
because they have lost control of anything that's going on.
Well, not necessarily, because a lot of times manufacturers pick the boat and the transit company to do it.
Okay.
So if it could be the manufacturer's transit company that's managing the load, but it's still in their control in essence. But as long as it leaves the dock, they're done with it. And then the consumer takes a hit on it, or vice versa, depending on how you negotiate. But Ecoterms is like, it's negotiation to the core from ocean freight companies, dude, and freight forwarders. So that answers your question.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
I'm not going to lie. My head's just like,
boom. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's a whole nother world. And domestically, dude,
it's just a giant industry. It's somehow like,
you almost got to be a lawyer to do this shit. No joke.
Really?
Yeah. It's asinine, dude. I'm like, dude, I just dabbled my feet into it and I was like, you guys can do
that. So what is the automated process at this point? Like, what's automated? Just the cranes that are taking the container from
vehicles driving around the terminal?
So the vehicles are
containers?
They're autonomous.
The yard mules are autonomous now?
Like the vehicles, nobody's controlling. That's really? All okay. software.
But they're yard mules in yes. They're automated yard mules now.
Yes.
What's that?
So yard mule is
this is all, UTR. This is, so like, you asked what this was going to be. So this is an
education on freight, dude.
This is me getting educated on freight.
Yeah.
It's called a UTR. UTR has like a trailer, and it's longshoremen driving around containers. They drive under the crane.
Yeah.
They get the container, and then they go to another guy, and the guy with a big top pick or it lifts the container and stacks it.
Okay.
So those are all humans, right? Well, in the automation, there's no UTR. There's no trailer. The automated vehicle is the trailer. It's just a giant trailer with wheels that drives around by itself.
Oh, that's crazy. So it's not a tractor.
Nobody's controlling it.
So I haven't seen these yet.
Oh, that's the software crazy. Is driving it around.
The AGVs.
Well, didn't you say you saw them at
I saw yard mules being used.
Okay, no. These are like, they look like big, it's like a big bomb cart. It's called.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did
see
those.
It's a bomb cart with wheels, but nobody's driving.
Yeah, yeah. I did see those.
And they're green.
I did see those. Yes, I did see those.
So they drive around just by themselves. So they're the ones driving around through the yard, and then an automated crane picks it up off that thing and puts it in the stack.
And then once it gets in the stack. And
another automated crane grabs it from the stack, puts it on the trucker.
Yeah. And the truckers.
All by software.
Yeah. The truckers just have like a frame. It's just that's why they're new drivers, because their trailers are literally just the frames. They just think of like a, I don't know. It's not even a flat. Think of a flatbed without the wooden top. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And so
it depends. So that's what you're talking about. I think it's a bomb cart. Yeah. It's called. There's no, it just has angled steel and it just gets placed in there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they just,
they haul. It is, I can't tell you how many freaking, those drivers have destroyed our docks, dude, when I was working in college.
Yeah,
dude.
Speed limits? Speed limits? What? Nah.
They're stop like driving signs? NASCAR,
like on
dude.
The terminal.
Really?
Stop signs? Nah.
Because they
you
get
You got to literally watch and like, just got to drive careful.
Because
like,
they
stay away from everybody.
Yeah, because they get paid by the load. And so from the terminal to wherever that shipment is going in, right? So they don't get paid by mileage or any of that shit.
Paid by how much they get haul?
By the haul, per haul. So they'll predetermine this. It's $200, $300 back then. It was $200, $300 a haul. Mm-hmm. And it was nice if you were able to go back and forth to the port. Yeah. It was nice if it was like from the port to Compton or from the port to Santa Ana or from the port to, but it's not nice if I say, hey, Steven, you're a freight driver. Go pick this up and take it down to San Diego.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck.
Damn it. I only got one load. Dude.
I got one load. I'm making $200-$300 today. That's it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so dude, that's how it is. So the less senior guys get the, from Long Beach to San Diego, and those guys are just fucking pissed. They're just fucking walking around, fucking. They can make two runs, great. But the guys that get, the senior guys get the fucking port to LA, the port to Santa Ana, the port to Compton,
Wilmington,
right? And it's like they're making four or five trips. They're fucking bunking. They're banking, you know, $2,000 a day.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So
what's the next phase of automation then at the terminal?
Human elimination.
So I don't know.
I would assume.
I mean, that's pretty much it. Like LBCT is probably the most advanced as far as automation. Yeah.
Because you said the terminal started automating 5 years ago, give or take.
Right? Let's see, probably more like eight now.
Nine.
No,
eight.
Shoot.
No,
when I first got down there, so 10 years ago.
Okay.
I've been.
It was like the start of building it.
Yeah. Okay.
So they were building it brand new.
Okay.
The LBCT
one. Yeah.
Long Beach. So. But it took probably 6 years for it to go. And then they had phase two and phase three and just grew it. But it's probably been fully like operational maybe 3 years.
Okay.
But no, I mean, that's it. Like it's automated. Like that terminal.
Without lose.
The only other thing they could do is literally they could load the correct PLC program on the ship to shore cranes, the cranes unloading the ships.
Yeah.
They can do that. They don't need any operators actually.
No.
Damn.
I think the unions are fighting right now.
But the union ain't gonna
let
that.
How does a union even stick around or even be able to deal with that shit when you start losing jobs to software?
There has to be a transition, dude. Like, they don't, they, I, they, they have the software now that can do that. I mean, they're doing it in
But they won't Europe. Let it happen. Yeah, yeah, they're doing they've been doing it in Europe for But three decades.
Yeah, okay, so
decades. Maybe yeah. longer. Maybe, yeah. I think 40 years now.
When I, or
30 years. Me see,
my 14th year in logistics, I was running a freight forwarder there in San Diego, and our company was owned by a company in Germany, and they were already saying that they bought out. It was a U.S.-based freight forwarder that they bought our company, and it was Apollo-based company. And so they came back and they were like, "Dude, we're pushing for automation here in the States." I'm like, the laws didn't even pass, dude. That was 20 years ago, bro. Yeah, they're already doing automation. Damn.
I'm pretty sure our union blocked it.
Yeah,
somehow snuck it in.
Well, they're I don't know how much longer
we have contracts able, every yeah. 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And they get renewed or whatever, or changed, or we try to get more money usually.
Yeah.
I would assume the unions overall have had to kind of change the way they look at labor internally.
For sure, dude. Like,
because of the AI being with software with you guys or with medical unions or whatever it is. So it's got to be an interesting deal from a union perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That they have to no. Okay, now we need to look at.
Well, like a true union guy won't use a self checkout, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
we do our part.
Yeah. I'm standing in line. I want to wait 30 minutes, right? Yeah. No. It's
I'm
just gonna hang out here and wait till I'm my turn. 40 minutes goes by. Okay.
Yeah.
I can start moving forward a little bit.
Yeah, they can't. It's a transition though.
But dude. I mean, stuff changes, man. It is what it is. I'm a mechanic. I work on this stuff. So
my
job's not going away.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Can't.
So. I mean, even all the automation in Disneyland, I know mechanics that work with me at Coca-Cola.
Do you do any of the software type of like mechanical stuff? Do you have to work on any of that? Or is it just
terminal operating software? Right. No, we don't touch
any. You don't touch any of that. That's all. You're dealing with everything just straight.
I just deal with the cranes and
got it.
The stuff. Hydraulic mechanical stuff.
Everything, there's everything on those. Generators, hydraulics. I can't everything mechanical, big ass ropes, PLCs, drives, inverters, motors.
I don't think that'll ever go away, but I do think that, like, from a programming perspective, I mean, hell, that's why I don't think we'll ever go to war, because there's people.
You know what's crazy is, you know, stuff
like that.
Over time, like, if you look at like an old crane, it's a lot more robust as far as like electrical components, like lays and contactors. They would last a lot longer. And if they didn't, they were easy to rebuild. Where now everything's like plastic and kind of junk.
Even the so automated stuff is?
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because it's cheap, right? So there's like cheap plastic terminals and like, so stuff just burns up. And you know, it's just the quality of material.
That doesn't make sense, dude.
Yeah, but I think, honestly, I think that will also change too as it gets older in design and they realize what's
I think they can make the stuff so cheap now that it is it's cheaper to put it in and it's cheaper to replace. Well, so
and a lot of
they don't care. So you just replace it.
And that's the thing. I think
you don't rebuild stuff anymore.
You can also 3D print everything.
Yeah.
So you start 3D printing that stuff and it becomes
I get it. Yeah, I get it. But it's like the stuff
My point is,
they're always going to need guys to, like, this stuff.
The point is, my job's not going anywhere.
I mean, this stuff catches on fire and stuff, so.
Really?
Like, I mean, yeah.
Like the old.
Like fireballs, like a drive will blow up, and it's like arc flash 4 feet out from the drive.
What's the.
Luckily, the door shut.
Speaking of some of this stuff, what's the craziest thing that you've seen? As a mechanic having to work on some of that stuff, you've got to have seen some really crazy shit that somebody's either done. You're just like,
other day, I think it was last week. So there's deck lids. So on the container ship, you have containers below deck.
Right.
And then there's a big ass lid that goes above the containers and has a gasket and it gets hatched down. And then you stack containers on top of the ship. Those lids are called lids. And an operator was taking it off the ship the other day. He's about halfway off the ship, starts hoisting down, and then he stops hoisting down, and the lid kept going. And so it lands, it's halfway on the ship, halfway on the dock, and it just, boom, it fell. Brakes slipped.
Dude.
So you see, like, people kind of run out. They're not underneath it, but you see
people
running away.
40 tons.
That's, I mean, if that would have happened.
Scary, dude.
Over, you know, if he was 40 more feet back, right over people.
Yeah.
Oh, you're, shit.
When you take the when you take the tour, dude, it you see things coming across on an automated fucking crane, dude, and you're just thinking, like, this could be it right here.
I mean, there's big acts. There is. I mean, people lives, die people, pretty people much die. Every year. Like, someone will die every year.
That's why they that's why the union negotiates such, like, tries to keep contracts going for them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my uncle died, dude. I have an uncle that died in NASCO, crane accident.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's.
He's just fucking walking, dude. He's just walking in the yard, man. And you fucking.
It's scary. I mean, people get so used to it, too, that you get comfortable. You have these giant machines operating heavy equipment. And people.
You don't even think about it.
You're just watching. Just kind of hanging out, whatever. Yeah.
No big deal.
But then when stuff goes wrong.
Then people just start looking up for like 5 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they're like, and then after 5 months, then it gets back to normal, right? But yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Everyone's scared. Everyone's like on point for like a month and then it's everything.
Whatever. Yeah. But yeah, you're just.
It's just part of the industry.
That's how my uncle, he died, dude. Fucking, they were moving a generator, dude, like a fucking 20 ton generator and in the yard and the crane fucking malfunctioned. And it fucking just went, and he wasn't looking up, and it fucking
crushed him,
bro.
People have been crushed by containers. Yeah. They've been run over by yard cranes.
Yeah,
like run over.
God, sign me up right now.
One operator didn't even know, and he kept running this dude over. I mean, he was already smashed, but she couldn't see the guy because it's on. There's containers.
I don't mean to laugh at that, but shit, so that sucks.
I mean, just. For like an hour. And then someone finally went back there and saw this flat dude.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's not like the fucking crane operator, like not like the fucking, the machinery, like in a car, you run somebody over. You're like,
no,
bro. Flat. It's fucking just.
Yeah.
You're
pancake house.
You're a pancake house, bro. that driver did not feel a bump. There's no way in God's green earth. He felt the fucking bump. What a way to go. Right.
That, yeah.
Yeah, what a way to go, dude. I mean, it was
that, that might be I mean, in the
these
top.
These things have lights and loud ass sirens that like hurt your ears. Yeah. So he probably had like headphones in, you know, wasn't really paying attention and just walking between the containers. All things you're not really supposed to do, especially the headphones.
But even some of the
couldn't PPE. Couldn't hear the crane.
Yeah. Fuck. But even some of the PPE, dude, like that they require some of the drivers, like, for us as just forklift operators, right? We had to wear earplugs in.
Earplugs, hard hat. Yeah, and we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. And so like, yeah,
I'm not for us. They probably have a hard hat on.
Yeah. But, yeah. And so you're in a manufacturer or even in that kind of environment, you're like, you picky and choosy. I saw somebody's foot get severed with some steel toe shoes. I'm like, I'm never fucking wearing steel toe shoes.
What's the, if... Hey, Jeff Stoner's going to go and get a job at the terminal tomorrow.
That day comes, dude. So,
what's the base? What's the base entry point of just a random Joe Schmo that goes into there? What
job are they going to do?
Yeah,
they're going to drive like a UTR, even though you'll need a little bit of training for that.
Yeah,
or signal a crane. So you're like the dock signal.
I got your flags, like.
Well, you're just. Honestly, you're probably not even signaling. You're just kind of standing down.
Are you just
there.
Looking up, waiting for a 40 ton?
And then, like, taking the cones off the containers and putting them in a bucket.
Okay.
But you're underneath.
I can do that job.
You've had.
So I could take cones off of.
Those are the motherfuckers that get ran over, dude.
So you've had.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
You had like a 4 hour safety course.
Okay.
If that.
I've had a 4 hour
safety. They gave you a yellow hard hat and an orange vest.
Okay.
And say,
see you later. See you later.
Yeah,
don't get run over.
Good luck.
You're welcome, by the way. First of all, for getting a fucking job on the dock because you've
never been
paid.
Under a crane, never even been on a crane. You don't even know what's going on up there. It doesn't matter though because you're just the signal and you got to take the cones off. So, good luck. Figure it out.
Go take the fucking cones off.
Talk to your boss if you have any questions.
And your boss,
damn, okay.
Your boss doesn't give two shits about you, bro. he does not.
Yeah. Okay,
but. Correct me if I'm wrong, though, dude. If I get a job, like if it's hard to get a job on the fucking dock, dude.
It's impossible.
Yeah. It's really fucking hard to get a job on the dock.
Why is it impossible?
Seniority, fucking union.
Are people, so I guess that's
just
the thing.
To get like a casual car. So there's a casual haul. I don't know a lot about this. stuff. But I mean, there's people that spend years in the casual. They're not even a registered member. So that means that they do not have medical insurance through their job. Nothing. They get a paycheck, obviously, whatever hours they work, but all the jobs that don't get taken by the regular haul, if they can't run off, not enough people, they go to the casual. Those guys pick up the slack. Years, they'll be there.
When you say years, though, dude.
Decade. It might be 12
years.
It might be 12 years. It might be 15 years because they have to work another job usually. Yeah. So they can only get down there when they can, you know, and they're trying to get their hours and hours and hours and hours. And you have to get to a certain amount of hours, even have an option to get into the union.
Damn. So how long were you on the casual versus?
I went in a different path. So the different path is becoming a mechanic. Being a mechanic, all you need is a weld cert, and a company can hire you on as a mechanic. But it has to be timed right, too. Even that's kind of weird, too, sometimes, because if there's mechanics in the hall, companies have to hire them first before they hire off the street.
Yeah, but you...
So it's like all timing.
Are you part of a union, though, there?
Yeah, I'm a longshoreman.
Okay, yeah.
In the longshoreman union. Yeah.
So
you... But that's why they hate us. So, like, regular longshoremen don't like mechanics, usually because... We're backdoor. We backdoored ourselves.
Well, because you guys are backdoor.
We didn't have to do the casual haul. We didn't have to do all those hours. We didn't have to grind all those years.
Yeah. Because there's technical jobs.
To
get into
the union, because it's a technical job. You can't just hire anybody to do the job. Yeah. You need car mechanics. You need forklift mechanics. You need crane mechanics.
Mm-hmm. See, there's a benefit in going to the back door, Omar.
I've been telling you that for how many years now, bro? Yeah, the fucking maintenance, and he has access to lube. Wow. All right.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's all good.
Yeah, dude. And so that goes for any manufacturing or even just a longshore. But you'd be shocked about how many of them are casual people. For 10, 15 years, dude, they're working two jobs or in some cases three jobs. And they're taking these fucking cones off with like 2 hours of sleep, bro.
Yep.
Oh.
Sleeping in the parking lot. Yeah. I mean, it's a grind.
It's a fucking
grind. Are the casual people part of the union in some respect or no?
Well, they are. I mean, I get.
Kind of one foot in, like one foot in, one foot out type of thing?
No.
I know they don't get the union benefits. So okay. I guess not. No, they're not registered members in the
union. Oh, that's even worse.
They're just casual. They're just... picking up work when they can't.
It's so think about it as like a temp labor.
Okay, got it.
And so that's
they're just picking up.
I can factor that in.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they literally come in, like they give two shits about them, dude.
And it depends. Like I think every couple years, or just depends. If they need more people, they'll elevate a bunch of casuals. So like maybe 100, 200, 300 at a time.
Interesting.
But lucky, dude.
I don't even know the numbers. I wish I did. But it's thousands of casuals. It's like probably 5,000? I don't know.
Now, do you see it from if you are working at one port and want to transfer it over to another port? Is there any transfer? Are you pretty much going
from... So there is steady people at every dock.
Got it.
Every dock has steady people, but most of the labor is not steady. So you're going to the hall. So like if you work at day shift, you're going to go to the hall at 6 a.m., wait in line or whatever, and wait for your number to be called to grab a job.
Oh, fuck.
That job could be anything. And then you're going to go to wherever that job is.
In the yard.
The whole place.
In the port.
The whole harbor.
Yeah.
Well, what about, let's take you as a mechanic.
I'm steady.
So
I go to the same place every day.
But if you looked at it as Long Beach and you wanted to go and work down in San Diego, could you transfer from one port to the other at a lateral
it's
deal?
It's a different local down
or
here.
So, you're
I think there is a way to do it, but I would have to find someone down here to go up there.
And it's
which people actually want to do, I think.
Okay.
Because it's not a ton of work down here for long term. I think there might be like a couple.
I doubt it. Yeah. Everything's in LA for that stuff. Yeah.
So,
but you could.
No, there's ways to kind of transfer.
But it doesn't happen.
Once
really.
You do that too, you're never going back. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, think about it standing in line, dude, from a seniority perspective. So they're managing their seniority as well, dude.
Yes.
So, like, if they do that and they find, I just want to be closer to home and I want to work San Diego.
Now I'm bottom of the barrel.
But now
here.
I'm the better of the best because there's fucking guys in San Diego that have 20 years of fucking seniority. Got dude. It. And now you're basically the fucking bootlicker. You don't, yeah.
Yeah. So you're like, so you're pretty that. Much, you're not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah. He's going to retire there, dude. He's going to fucking retire.
He's like,
there.
Yeah,
I'm once you're going. In, you're in, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the golden handcuffs.
It's very mafia-like. It's very mafia-like,
I
bro.
Feel like most terminals would be owned by mafia in some regard.
Hey, bro, back in the day,
I've seen enough of The Sopranos. I know that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I know what's going on.
It's fucking wild, dude. But it's a different world, dude. You legitimately yeah. feel like you're walking into another country, bro.
It's a whole other world. It's yeah. crazy.
Yeah, it's wild, dude. I did not believe it. I had been fucking coordinating shipments through Long Beach for fucking 10 years before I even got to see the port. And when I saw the port, I was like, mind blown. I had a total mm-hmm. different understanding of every fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But yeah. So now you know.
I honestly, this is an interesting conversation.
Is it interesting? Because I'm like.
This is boring.
There's no. Yeah. Well, no, it's not boring for me. I enjoy talking about this stuff. But
I have no fucking concept.
Is it interesting to other people, you think? Like that?
I think
like
so. I think. I
well,
think
you're interested.
I'm totally interested. I think it's a trip because this is something that. This is a job that happens that's beneficial for every person in this country and in whatever,
the world.
Right? In the world.
Yeah, get your phone out. Yeah, exactly. It'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, get Amazon going. Get a shipment from China, whatever it is. Like every single person in the world is ordering something online. Yeah. And what they don't realize is how that product moves from point A
China.
To point B yeah. and what's happening in between, like how that product is getting off the ship and into on the dock to the truck to store, whatever it is. Right. Like, so that's the interesting point of everyday users don't really think about it like that. And it's yeah. kind of one of those things you talk about, like how does this work? And like, oh, didn't it just get shipped from some retail spot immediately?
Think about the chairs that we're sitting on right now.
100%.
Fucking China to the core, bro. And yeah. and nine times, I can't remember this stat was like fucking 14, 15 years ago. So it might not even stand still. But there was, back then, it was like 80 to 85% of the goods that we consume in the United States had traveled through a port or a ocean container.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Versus... So even if you like order from China or you order from Amazon or from Apple, whatever the case may be, very rarely does that product ever see any other transportation.
The unfortunate truth is when it's minimal, made in America, shipped from America, like, right. Everything has
shipped
has,
from America, made in another fucking country. Yeah. Bro.
So again, to me, this is interesting my mind is blown as far as how this crazy. All operates, right? And it's like I've known that you have been working on everything, you know, as far as the mechanic stuff goes for years and everything, but I've never asked you like how this all operates and how, and the automation thing is a huge deal. Everybody's always interested in how AI is changing society now.
I don't even know if I would, like, is that AI? I mean, it's software. Well,
the software. Yeah, the software is helping. Yeah, software is helping drive
that. It's AI.
Yeah.
And then even in.
But I mean, even before AI was a thing, right?
Yeah,
it's still. Rotterdam's been running the software.
That's the thing, though, is that software is adjusting somehow, some way, some form based on what is being programmed into it, right?
So, yeah, it's making the whole process way more efficient.
Right. And when they develop that, there's got to be a learning curve of some sort for each of those software pieces be able to learn how to operate, you know, on the terminals and stuff. So it's definitely, as we get bigger and bigger in the AI space, it's, again, interesting for me to hear what's being automated more and more. Even said that 10 years ago, they were starting this process.
Yeah, here.
That just shows you like how long ago companies were starting to look at automation to do this. Like you got autonomous vehicles already on the docks and terminals driving themselves. Well, they're trying to get out. They're have autonomous vehicles on streets.
Same thing with truckers. You can do the same thing with
exactly.
I mean, so you got automated like Uber drivers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, automated. Vehicles.
We talked about that. You were in
Waymo. I was in an automated autonomous vehicle in San Diego or in Scottsdale.
But I think AI is more of a AI is more of an intelligent piece where it's like they have to take into consideration a human factor. Like AI's thinking and learning versus automation is. Automation's been happening for the last 20 plus years.
Well, it has, yes.
Right. And so, but automation is basically a program that has set variables. In other words, it knows where the dock is. It knows where location A1A is in the warehouse.
It's very controlled.
It's very controlled.
It's a controlled environment.
There's no variable that it has to learn.
Like, so anything automated down there is all fenced off.
Yeah.
There's no humans in there.
Yeah.
So nothing changed. The environment never changes.
Yeah, that's automation.
Yes.
Versus AI
or like an automated warehouse.
Right.
Like you can't just go walking around.
No.
But then when you start going like truckers automating the truck, or that's a whole nother.
Yeah. Like you go into automated Amazon facility and you can't walk in. You're standing on the outside. It's blocked off.
Right.
Right. But fuck, dude, it's just been happening around since Blockbuster day. Blockbuster was like the leading, and then they went out of business. They did it too late, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
what do you mean Blockbuster? What?
So Blockbuster started the automation thing in logistics and supply chain. So whenever you got a video of some sort, their whole thing was like automated to the stores, mm-hmm. right? They still had men like sorting. So the sorting stations they use at FedEx, the sorting stations they use at UPS, the sorting stations is mimicking the Blockbuster model way back when. So like whenever they had things coming in, sorting videos and DVDs and all that shit, it was all automated in Blockbuster. Like they were the first ones. And then they did it too soon.
I know that.
They did it too soon. And then they fucking are too late because people were moving away from it. And you know, people were starting going digital and having DVD player or not DVD, right. but was it DVD? It wasn't DVD players. It was
VHS to DVD to I don't know, to
like TiVo. It was like TiVo.
Whatever's on my phone.
Exactly. And so that it was too late. Like they did it because they were losing an audience and they were losing money. They got rid of everybody and they said, well, we got to fucking make our supply chain automated.
Yeah.
And then, and then came like other things in supply chain and logistics. And it's a thing. I love that whole world because it's very analytical and there's always ways to make things more efficient and save a shit ton of money. But to Steven's point, what the fuck? It's like you run, even people that were running, like I was running facilities and I was butting heads with union workers and shop stewards and unions that were just like, fuck that. No, you can't.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, shit, man. Thanks for coming in and talking shop with us.
No shit. Well,
education. My mind just was like,
We went down a rabbit hole. We never came back out.
Yeah,
we never came back out.
Yeah, we never came back out of that rabbit hole. And sometimes that's good. There's nothing wrong with going down the rabbit holes and not coming back out.
But I love that. I figured once
we got into that conversation, I knew you were like.
Oh, dude, I'm fucking logistics.
Eyes wide open.
It's
cool. It is interesting, you know.
The next time people order something off of Amazon or anything for that matter.
Just know
that there was a mechanic or.
Yeah, man, I got that there, all right?
Didn't show up. Amazon guy didn't.
It's all Steven's fault.
Steven's fault.
He fucked it over at the terminal somewhere.
If it doesn't get there, call Steven, leave a message on this episode.
Try not to drop any more lids, dude.
Yeah. He didn't maintenance the fucking automated fucking vehicle.
Exactly.
And your iPhone got crushed.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Wow. Thanks, brother. Appreciate me coming in.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
This has been an international podcast transmission of No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. Music was provided by The Poor Dirty Astronauts with lyrics written by Matt Meyer. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episodes. NFA, over and out.